Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. Thank you for joining me today. Jesus is Lord. We are still in the Gospel of Luke, which is an expository, meaning verse by verse teaching. Out of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. Boy, we have covered a lot. Thus far, we are still in Luke chapter 9. And if this is your first time joining me here in this podcast, welcome. And please take some time to listen to the previous sessions so you can get the best out of this teaching in context. So we are going to wrap up my teaching here out of the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. So we pick this thing up here in Luke 9, beginning in verse 51. And the gist of this upcoming verses and session is that we will learn how the Samaritans would oppose the Lord Jesus' ministry, and we would also learn about the cost of following Jesus Christ as a disciple, as your Lord and Savior. So before we get into the verses proper, let me lay the foundation about this feud or this discord that went on between the Jews and the Samaritans so you can have an idea what is going on in these verses. Now, this account that I'm about to summarize here is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 17. So right around 720 to 721 BC, because of the disobedience and sins of the northern tribe of Israel, the Lord had allowed the Assyrian to invade the northern Israel territory and took them into captivity. So the Assyrians were pagans, so they resettled in that land over there, and some of the Jews were still in the land. So there was a mix of some of the Jews and the Assyrian that were living in that region during the resettlement, when the Assyrians resettled in that region. So needless to say that being that the Assyrians were pagan, a lot of pagan worship was going on. So because of this resettlement of the Assyrians in this region, which had the combination of Jews and the Assyrians, the Jews intermarried. Essentially, intermarriage took place. Some of the Jews got married to the Assyrian wives, and Assyrian got married to the Jews, vice versa. Already, if you understand the law of Moses, which I had discussed in the first five books, Genesis through Deuteronomy, the Lord God has spoken through Moses, prohibiting the Jews from intermarrying, because the Lord had told them if they did that, their heart would be swayed towards pagan worship. So right away, the Israelites or Jews from the northern Israel region intermarried with the Assyrians, so some pagan worship was going on. So as a result of this intermarriage, the name Samaritans came about, because the Samaritans were considered half-breed, meaning they were half Jews and half Gentiles, okay? So this is what is happening here. So the other Jews really hated the Samaritans, because the other Jews felt that the Samaritans were traitors. They got married to pagan wives, etc. And they had other deep differences. As an example, the Samaritans used the same copy of the Torah, i.e. the first five books of Moses, just as the other Jews from the southern Israel or southern kingdom. You know, the kingdom was divided, northern Israel and southern Israel. So they used the same Torah, first five books of Moses, but the Samaritans had a different perception or understanding of where to worship God. They had their own temple and their own ways of worship. To the Samaritans, they believed that they had to worship God right in Mount Chorazin near Shechem. And the Jews disagreed, and they believed that God had to be worshipped in Jerusalem. So that was one major difference there. So the Samaritans could not get into Jerusalem to worship God, because the Jews perceived them as outcasts. So they had this deep religious animosity and hatred going on. The division was so bad that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans and vice versa, in such a way that if the Jews had to travel around the Samaritan territory, they would rather take a different route and not even touch their foot in the land of the Samaritans. So there were deep-rooted anger going on as the Jews considered the Samaritans as pagans, okay? They wanted nothing to do with them. So when the Samaritans came in contact with the Jews and vice versa, bitter words were exchanged, etc. And obviously religious hatred, wow. Religious persecution, one of the deepest persecution and hatred that exists even today. Okay, so we are going to find out how the Lord Jesus, heading towards Jerusalem, sent some of his disciples ahead of him to prepare the way and wanted them to stop by the Samaritan territory, but the Samaritan would recognize them as the Jews and would refuse. But as we know, again, I'm speaking ahead of myself here, out of the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus taught us a powerful lesson about religious persecution or hatred. We are not to live in that manner. We are not to harbor such hatred in our hearts. We are children of God. God indwells us. And the Lord Jesus, obviously, as taught out of the Gospel of John, had this phenomenal ordained contact with a Samaritan woman out of the Gospel of John. Chapter 4, verses 19 through 23. You can go there and study that, but we are going to be getting into the Gospel of John sometime soon here. But the Lord Jesus had this encounter with the Samaritan woman, and his disciples were shocked that Jesus was having this encounter with a Samaritan woman. And because this Samaritan woman's heart was open, she received the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, and she went and spread that to the village rather than Samaria. And a lot of the Samaritans converted and started following the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So the lesson here, and we're going to learn that from the Lord, is that there is always hope with God. We are not to rule any religious group out of God's reach. I know today we have various cults and we have stories of Muslims whose hearts are open and they are receiving Christ and they are having visions of Christ the Messiah. We have people coming out of cults receiving Jesus Christ. So we should never harbor bitterness towards other people's religion. We are to be the light and the salt of the world and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts for the truth to penetrate them. So that is the lesson we are about to receive here. Hello, friends. This is Dr. Ruth here. Thank you for joining me today. I would like to share with you our ministry offer that is available to you as a donation to this ministry throughout my teachings out of the Gospels. So I have two resources that I know will bless you tremendously, because these two books have blessed hundreds of people. So, the two books all have to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ. So, the first one is titled, Who is the Real Jesus? And the second one is titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? So, for a ministry donation of $50 or more, this includes shipping and handling. If you live here in the USA, we will mail these two books to you today. Okay, it will provide added clarity, added teaching about the Gospels, the ministry of Jesus, the work of Christ. These are phenomenal resources that would add into the teaching here I'm doing in the Gospels and help you to really have a deeper revelation and walk with the Lord. So again, this comes to us as a donation, and we thank you in advance for considering that. Again, the books are Who is the Real Jesus? And the other one is Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? For a ministry donation of $50 or more if you live in the USA. But if you cannot afford both books and you just want one, it's okay too. We thank you for your donation. So, who is the real Jesus? For a donation of $25 or more, including shipping and handling. And then the other book, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus, would be $35, including shipping and handling. We will mail these books to you today. The advantage of getting both books is that you would save $10, okay? So again, this ministry offer is only available for those who live within the USA because we cannot ship overseas. But if you live overseas and you're listening to me, you can get these books from Amazon. So here is how you can donate through us directly to get this book as a ministry offer. Our safe and secure website is drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, drruthtanyi.org/donate. And then if you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here's the telephone number for Zelle. 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. And then we also accept donations through Cash App. And the name there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Or if you just want to bless us with a one-time donation to help us produce more teachings like this and pay for studio time, we thank you abundantly from the bottom of our hearts. And God says thank you. And God is so faithful that he will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. So I want to thank you in advance for purchasing this additional ministry resources to help you to gain a better revelation of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you. Here is the teaching. So with that background, let us proceed now. Luke 9 verse 51. As the time approached for him, referring to the Lord Jesus, to be taken up to heaven, meaning as the time approached for the Lord Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That is what that verse is saying, that as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, okay? Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, meaning that he determined, he was fixed, he was focused heading to Jerusalem. But isn't that a lesson for us, that when we are called by God, we have to resolute, we have to be convicted, we have to be persuaded in our own heart. We have to be fixed and focused towards that calling. That is what this verse is saying, that the Lord Jesus, his eyes, his heart was focused towards the call to Jerusalem to die for the sins of the world. So we can learn that when we are so focused on God's calling in our lives, God is there to embolden us to carry it out, just like we see the Lord Jesus doing this. Verse 52. And now the Lord Jesus, now, he had already made up his mind. He was heading to Jerusalem. So verse 52 is going to tell us how he sent his disciples ahead of him to prepare. Going back here, verse 52, and he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. Verse 53, but the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. I had already explained why they rejected him. They did not receive him because of that discord, because of that bitterness that I had just explained. So let us find out how the Lord Jesus' disciples would react to this rejection. There is a lesson here for us, and we're going to find out how the Lord Jesus would teach us how to handle rejection. Verse 54, when the disciples, James and John, saw this, meaning that they saw that the Samaritan people had rejected the Lord Jesus, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? Let me pause. You see, these disciples, James and John, obviously were quite immature. At this point, they still did not have a revelation of the scope of the Lord Jesus's ministry. They were speaking just out of the flesh, out of their emotions, and they were like, Lord, should we call fire down from heaven? Because we know that Elijah, out of 2 Kings chapter 1 did this. He called fire out from heaven to destroy the enemies of God. So we see James and John, truly, these were brothers, and they had thunder in them. They were actually called thunder because of their temper. They wanted Jesus to just annihilate, just kill the Samaritans right there and there. They were not handling this rejection well. Mm-hmm. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. So let us find out how the Lord would respond. But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. So the Lord Jesus just rebuked John and James, told them that that is not why he is there. The Lord Jesus had to correct them to say that he didn't come to destroy people. So the lesson here is that when we are dealing with religious persecution, hatred, we are not to take vengeance upon our hands. We are not to ask God to kill people. God is not in the business of killing people. God is in the business of saving people. Okay, the Lord God is patient with people, wanting for none to perish before all to have eternal life. So when you are trying to preach Christ to others and people reject you, you should not in anger just tell them that they're going to go to hell. We see that happen today. Unfortunately, many immature Christians do that. When they meet resistance and they meet rejection, the first thing they do is to pronounce judgment. Just like we see what Sons of Thunder here, James and John were doing. They were already pronouncing judgment upon the Samaritans, and Jesus would not have that. Jesus had to correct them. Likewise, we should trust God to avenge us. We should trust God to bring judgment unto people and not to pronounce judgment on people. So we have to have a healthy way to handle rejection, just like the Lord Jesus did here. He just left it alone, went to another village. So likewise, when we are rejected, we should leave it alone, pray for them, and move on to the next opportunity that the Lord is leading us to. Okay, we move on to the next upcoming verses here. These last verses are going to talk about the cost of following the Lord Jesus as a disciple. So we are now in verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." This is interesting. A man, we are told, just saw Jesus and said, "Hey, I'll follow you." Again, we are going to learn here how the Lord Jesus is going to teach us to ponder when we make that decision to follow him, because it is a sacrificial life. A lot of times people just say, "Oh, I will follow the Lord Jesus." They've not pondered on what it means to follow Jesus Christ, okay? So Jesus wants us to ponder and consider when we make that decision to follow him. It is the best, blessed decision that each of us are called by God to do, but it requires sacrifice and to allow the Lord Jesus to live in and through us. Okay, so now, this man had told Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Really? Let's find out how the Lord would respond. Verse 58, Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Interesting, we see the Lord Jesus here calling himself by one of his messianic titles, the Son of Man. And he told this man that, "Hey, I don't have a place to live. Animals have shelters, I don't." Surely the Lord Jesus had a place to place his head. But what the Lord Jesus was alluding to here is that there is a sacrificial lifestyle that is required when you come to be my disciple. There are times when we may have to sleep in a tent. There are times when we may endure rejection. It is not going to be pleasant all of the time. Is that what you want? I don't have a place I call home here. I am a traveling prophet. Do you want to really follow me? That's really what the Lord Jesus is saying. Essentially asking this man to consider the cost. It is a sacrifice. Are you willing to take the sacrifice? Oh my God. Likewise, friend, as I'm talking to you today, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, whatever you want from the Lord Jesus Christ today, a sacrifice has to be made. For some people, that sacrifice could just mean let go of your ways of doing things and trust in God. Mm-hmm. For some people, that sacrifice could just mean that you turn from certain things you've been doing in the past that the Lord has been speaking to your heart to let go and trust Him. Without sacrificing something for the Lord, you truthfully have to ask yourself, do I really love Jesus Christ? Because our lives as Christians call for sacrifice, okay? So the Lord Jesus continued now, after He had told this man that the Son of Man has no place to lay His head, He continued and said, He said to another man, follow Me. Now the Lord Jesus asked another man to follow Him, but he replied, the man replied to Jesus, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Right away, we are sensing something from this man's response. That call of Jesus Christ to that man, he didn't receive that as a priority. That calling of God in his life was not a priority, because he is already telling the Lord Jesus, oh, no, let me go do something first. There is a lesson here. Let's find out what the Lord Jesus would say. So the Lord Jesus had asked this man to follow Him. The Lord Jesus said, oh, no, let me go and bury my father. The Lord Jesus would respond in verse 60. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Powerful message here. The Lord Jesus is not negating. The Lord Jesus is not saying that we should not care for the family. Obviously, God wants us to care for our families. He has told us that. God wants us to care for our responsibility. But the principle here is our relationship with God is a priority. Did you get that? Your relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and your calling has to be a priority. Then everything else is secondary. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all else shall be added to you. I am paraphrasing Matthew 6:33. When we are truthfully seeking God to know Him more, and we are abiding in Christ, and we are taking heed to His calling in our lives, then we would be God conscious. God would lead us. We will then be better equipped to care for our families. It's not the other way around. God is a priority. Then family, number two. Are you getting this? So when we offset this priority, things won't work out, because we need that relationship with God to draw from the love of God, to draw from the strength of God, to draw from the wisdom and guidance from God. Then we can be better equipped to care for our families. So that is what the Lord Jesus is telling this man, that proclaiming the kingdom of God is a priority. Then family second. Okay, so we continue here in verse 61. Still another man said to Jesus, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Again, we see people who want a superficial relationship with God. Mm-hmm. They want to follow God or commit to Jesus Christ at their convenience, in their own condition. But you see, God is looking for sacrificial followers. God is looking for wholehearted commitment, not haphazard commitment. Not commitment when you want to do it your way and in your timing. You know why? Because if you wait for your way and your timing, Satan will always talk you out of God's will. So let's find out how the Lord Jesus would respond now. To this man, the Lord Jesus responded in verse 62. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Exactly. The Lord Jesus is saying that no one that I call out to follow me, no one that claims to be interested in the things of God and then keeps going back to the things of this world or keep going back to the things of their past is fit to truthfully be a genuine follower. You know why? Because that person would have a divided mind. You would have one foot in the past, in the back, in the world, and one foot into God's kingdom. But God doesn't want people like that to proclaim the kingdom of God. As I have been saying, God is looking for genuine 100% committed, sacrificial followers. Because when you give your heart to God wholeheartedly, 100%, that is when you become a true disciple. That is when you actually start to live the best and the blessed life that God has called you to do. As I already explained, it is then that you truly enjoy that blessed and fruitful life that Jesus Christ said in John 10:10, he came to give us life abundantly, exceedingly, until it overflows. Because we will be living and walking in the will of God, and in the will of God, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. And you would be fully focused on God, and you will be fully equipped to care for others, care for your family, and just be a blessing to others, okay? So we cannot have one foot in, one foot out. We cannot have a divided mind. God wants genuine followers. Okay, so this brings us to the end of this verses and to the end of Luke chapter 9. So what is a key principle and application here? I have said that already. Number one, how to deal with rejection. Don't take matters into your own hand. When you are rejected, when you step out to preach Christ, trust God. You know, friend, the Lord is bringing this to heart. If they could reject Jesus, they will reject you too. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus teaches us out of the Gospel of John? That if they reject him, they will reject you and God the Father. So don't be surprised by rejection. Don't be surprised by opposition from the enemy when you step out in faith to proclaim Christ. In fact, when you step out genuinely in faith to proclaim Christ, when you meet resistance and opposition, that is one way to know that you are truthfully in the will of God. Because in the will of God, you will always have opposition because Satan is going to fight you. Oh, man. Ooh, the more you grow in Christ, the more you're going to have more battles. Don't be afraid, but God will fight in and through you if you surrender to him. So never revenge, never carry out vengeance. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Always pray for the people, just like the Lord Jesus did with the Samaritans. He just went to the next village. Pray for them, plant that seed, and move on. And just trust God, okay? Number two, the price to follow Jesus. I have said this again, just to wrap up here. God is looking for genuine, sacrificial followers. So whatever you're dealing with today, friend, surrender to God wholeheartedly, not haphazardly. Whatever the Lord is calling you to do, surrender wholeheartedly. When you truthfully surrender to the Lord, you would enjoy a peace that surpasses all understanding. We are called as Christians to believe God, believe in Jesus, and to surrender to God's ways and God's will, because that is when we actually begin to live life. So I trust the Holy Spirit that you've been encouraged today by today's lessons. So Father, let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. I lift up all the listeners. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the lessons you've taught us here today, how to deal with rejection and how to surrender our burdens to you and how to follow you wholeheartedly. Father, I pray that all the listeners who have listened to me today and those who will listen later on, you show them, you teach them how to just surrender their burdens to you and trust you wholeheartedly because you have the best plans for them. But until they can truthfully surrender, they limit you. And you don't want to be limited. You want them to enjoy an abundance of peace, joy, and love and your presence. So I thank you for equipping and strengthening all the listeners today to genuinely surrender to you because you are a good God. We thank you for this day. We thank you that you are emboldening us to enjoy today because today is a day you have made and we rejoice in it. We thank you. We love you, God, because you loved us first. And I have prayed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody who agrees says, Amen. God loves you.
As you have been blessed, can you bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruth.com. drrutanyi.org. That's drrutanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address. info@drruthtanyi.org. That's I-N-F-O at drrutanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.